If you read the script for Fool for Love, Sam Shepard writes, "This play is to be performed relentlessly, without a break." He describes the scene, right down to the color of the old horse blanket, with holes laced to the back of the rocking chair. He tells us the blanket should be subdued in shades of grays and blacks. Lights are to fade to black on the set. In the dark, Merle Haggard's tune, Wake Up, from his The Way I Am album is heard. Lights begin to rise slowly on stage in the tempo of the song.
Wake up, don't just lay there like cold granite stone. Wake up, we're too close to be alone. Wake up, and please, darling, hold me if you would. Don't just lay there like you've gone away for good.
Critic Frank Rich wrote a review when Sam Shepard's Fool for Love first opened in New York. Rich told us, "No one knows better than Sam Shepard that the true American West is gone forever, but there may be no writer alive more gifted at reinventing the West out of pure literary air." Like so many Shepard plays, Fool for Love is a Western for our time. We watch a pair of figurative gunslingers fight to the finish, not with bullets, but with piercing words that give ballast to the weight of a nation's buried dreams. As theater, Fool for Love could be called an indoor rodeo. The setting is a present-day motel room on the edge of the Mojave Desert, where May and Eddie constantly batter one another. May and Eddie have been lovers for 15 years, but May has had it. She'd like nothing more than to buffalo Eddie in the middle of a passionate kiss. Eddie is some sort of rancher, complete with saddle, rifle, and lasso. Yet there's no more range, and he lives in a tin trailer. The motel room is May's most recent home, with its soiled green walls and a window facing black nothingness. It looks like a jail cell. Its doors slam shut with a fierce metallic clang. When Eddie uses his rope, all he can snare is a bedpost. When the two lovers want to escape, they don't mount horses for a fast getaway. They merely run to the parking lot and back. But if the West is now reduced to this, a blank, empty room with an unmade bed, Mr. Shepard fills that space with reveries as big as all outdoors. When the play's fighting lets up, we hear monologues resembling crackling campfire tales. Though the West has become but a figment of the movies, Eddie contends, "There's not a movie in this town that can match the story I can tell." Words of critic Frank Rich, cited by Harold Bloom in his study, Sam Shepard. This bigger-than-all-outdoors story will be told in the intimate setting of Providence Playhouse in Scranton this weekend, presented by 411 Studios, directed by Lou Bisignani, founder of Actors Circle, and featuring Kate Priestish as May and Casey Thomas as Eddie. Kate and Casey stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about Fool for Love and what has prepared them to take on the characters of May and Eddie.
I grew up in a theatrical household. My mother is an actress. My aunt and my cousin are also actresses. So it runs in the family, I guess. And I love the form of creativity where you can express yourself using your body and your voice and your emotions and just really speak to the public on a really universal level from the stage.
And Casey?
I don't want to say I came from a dramatical family, but in some sense I did. Loudmouth, you know, Irish sort of folks. But I was always into theater, even from a really young age. But, you know, to speak to what Kate said, there's something to be said about the connection that you get, you know, when you're in front of especially a live audience, when you could feel that energy and it's in the room. So after the first time of doing theater, and I must have been, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9, I joined a local acting studio and continued from there. But I think once you do it for the first time, it's really difficult to ever stop wanting to do that. The feeling is, it's very, it's palpable, the energy that you get from people watching what you're doing.
And what drew you each to this project?
Lou reached out to us earlier this year after Casey and I did a one-act together. And Lou has his own production company called 411 Studios, and he was interested in putting on Fool for Love and asked Casey and I if we would do it together. So it was kismet.
Yeah, it was, sort of lightning in a bottle, I guess. It started off with Lou. He asked us both separately if we wanted to do it, and I think it probably would have taken a little bit longer to get off the ground, but Kate and I sort of got on the phone earlier and said, no, let's do this now and sort of make it the next project, and then got Lou interested to do it coming up, recently, so...
What about good writing? This is good writing.
It is considered a modern masterpiece of Sam Shepard's.
Right, and he's tried and true. I mean, especially in the theater world, he does other... he's an actor and a director, and he wears many hats. But as a playwright, a good portion of his material is considered weighty, well-crafted material, which is not very common for playwrights. They could have 30-some pieces of literature out there, and they might only have two that have made it successfully, but he's somebody who's always being produced and, reviewed and studied and really appreciate it.
It's interesting that Lou saw you and said, these are the ones. There must have been something in the chemistry that he was watching.
The one act that Kate and I ended up doing was called Roquefort. It was also written by a local writer, Ted LaRusso, who's a phenomenal writer. And we had such fun doing it. And we ended up being asked around to other venues to perform it because it's easy to travel with and people really enjoy it. So we ended up doing it for a couple of other events. And I don't know if it's something because it's impossible not to have fun doing that one act, which I couldn't even begin to describe to you what it was about, but sort of absurdist. But I would imagine anyone who watched us do it could see that we were enjoying being around each other and.
Yeah. Definitely. And we're good friends now off stage, so that definitely translates to the stage, I think.
But I'm trying to think, though, as I'm thinking about the Fool for Love, the storyline, it's sort of sickening if they saw some chemistry between us. And I don't want to give anything away about the plot, but I hope they didn't see us and say, yeah, they're perfect for that show.
Yeah, I think you need a certain type of chemistry and comfortability with another person
right.
to pull off something this dramatic and intimate on stage. So I'm glad. There's no one else in the world I'd rather do this with than Casey. I trust him completely.
Hey, likewise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where are we in this play?
This takes place in a random hotel room in the middle of the Mojave Desert. The play was written in the early 80s, but it really can translate to
sure.
any type of modern period. And Eddie and May are on and off again lovers. Eddie tracked her down to this motel room, and the play opens just as he appears. So it starts on a very intense note.
Yeah, it does dive right into it, even though there are a lot of moments of silence in the show, or at least Kate and I are still trying to find more and more of those moments of silence. It's a very heavy play, but it also does have moments of humor and lightness to it. But I'm starting to find some of those quieter moments on stage to have a lot of oomph to them on their own.
Even though it was written back then, it speaks to us today.
Oh yeah. There are a lot of different themes to it, and one of the ones I keep thinking about and it keeps coming back to me is sort of growing up. I know it sounds broad, and these two characters are sort of already grown adults, but there's a lot of decisions that are coming to the forefront that they have to make, and it's about making that final step to sort of let things go or come to terms or figure certain things out that you might have been avoiding your whole life, which is something that we all do universally. We avoid things that are close to the heart, so...
I think Sam Shepard, I think a common theme in a lot of his plays is a struggle with identity also. That's a big one, which I think it goes back to what you were saying. There's in some way.
And there's some selfishness too, a little bit, and self-centered. And there's a lot of different layers. And it's nice during the rehearsal process because at least for me, you read a script and you only read it for... we'll say lines first, and then as you go through it more and more and you peel back layers and then you start to figure things out, and in the middle of you doing it, you're like, oh, so you discover things as you go.
Have you been in places like this as characters, or is this taking you into new places?
It's a little bit of a departure, but I mean, again, there's certain elements to the character I play that I could totally identify with because they're universal. And it's pretty black and white, but then there are some places that are definitely a stretch for me to go. But it's fun to do that. So it's never dark. You never find yourself afterwards saying, oh God, that was so stressful to have to do that. No, it's always fun to sort of put yourself in those situations.
I agree with Casey. Actually, there's no role I've done quite like this before. And that's the beauty of Sam Shepard. The characters are, in some way, they're very ordinary and relatable and commonplace, but they're also so layered and so interesting and also very quirky and unique in some ways that there's nothing quite like it.
No, and there's a certain pacing to the show as well that lends itself nicely. I mean, we're sort of dodging what the show is actually about because it's one of those really great shows that it's nice when you walk in not knowing what you're about to see and sort of just let yourself be surprised. And it runs at a swift 80 minutes at the most, but you're never disappointed. You're never left. The story just it takes you along for, you know, the entire time without letting you down at any moment. But some of the subject matter in it, even the way it's addressed to you, even the way it's handled as material, it's sort of just a few lines that slip out and it says a whole lot about the show. And I don't know, that's about as far as I could take it.
Can you talk about the title?
Our director, Louis Bisignani, has said several times, "We're all fools for love," he's been saying. So
right,
I think it speaks to how love is a drug in that way. Even, you know, depending on whatever situation it is, the people who are in it say, "You just don't understand." But of course we all understand, and the things that we do for that feeling could be questionable or admirable, or take your pick.
What about Sam Shepard's writing for characters, the dialogue, creating a voice? You talked about the pacing, you talked about the silences, but when you are talking, how about that?
Actually, this is one of the first things that we discussed when we picked up our scripts. The dialogue isn't exactly proper, and it really gives you a feeling that it needs to be done in at least a slight Southern accent.
It's simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of fluff. It's pretty much, it's right down to the bare bones of how people actually address each other in conversation. And some of the things that are in, it's very biting dialogue, especially some of May's lines.
He used the word visceral the other day.
Yes.
Yes.
Some of that stuff is very visceral. The one line she has, and every time she says it, I'm like, oh God, I can smell what you're talking about. So I would say it's the absence of showmanship, or it's not pretentious.
He also does something that I've seen very few other playwrights do, maybe Tennessee Williams, where it's a piece of realism, but maybe fantastic realism, I'd call it, because there are lots of points of illusion and fantasy intertwined in this very bare-bones play.
Yeah. And I think they act as flashbacks in a way, or sort of provide backstory in a theatrical sort of way for the sake of drama, you know, why you go to the theater.
Is there any sense that a love relationship can include, and this is not just literal necessarily, but metaphorical violence? Is violence figure in any way in the coming together of two people in a situation like this in a motel in the Mojave Desert?
I think Kate and I were just having this conversation on the way to go to rehearse together. Physically, even on stage, you know, combatively, it's pretty physical in that aspect, but there's nothing violent about it. There's a passionate nature to it, and there's a sense of urgency to it. But we were also speaking about, you know, how love can be, it can get very violent, it can get very physical, whether you're a male or a female. I don't know, but we've been finding those boundaries together on stage, and it's even uncomfortable there because, you know, you don't want to overstep your grounds.
Yes, but even the dialogue in some ways I think is violent, just the way we speak towards each other. But there was a review I was reading of a performance done, I think it was titled Sizzle and Steak, something like that. So it is a show that has a lot of passion and a lot of
And I think when you put it. Two people in a room together under these circumstances, you tend to want to one-up each other. And even people, especially when they're in love, want to find that perfect thing to dig at each other with and to really go to those dark places. And then before you know it, you've completely unraveled each other. And
bring it on. It's such an exciting piece, and I think it would appeal to 18 and over.
Sure.
But I think particularly the younger audiences will really like to see something so edgy done on stage.
Yeah, and it's a piece of material that sort of flies under the radar a little bit. It sort of catches you off guard, and I think that's what I enjoy most about it. So like I said, I think coming with an open mind and not knowing too much about it, you know, try to resist Googling and just come in and see for yourselves. It's a wonderful show.
Actors Casey Thomas and Kate Priestash, who have the roles of May and Eddie in Fool for Love by Sam Shepard, to be presented this weekend in Scranton by 411 Studios. It's directed by Lou Bisignani at Providence Playhouse, 1256 Providence Road in Scranton. For more information, area code 570-342-9707. The shows are Friday and Saturday, June 24th and 25th at 8 p.m., this Sunday, June 26th at 2. Warren Cox and John Bepler join Kate and Casey in the cast. That's Fool for Love, a play by Sam Shepard, presented by 411 Studios, directed by Lou Bisignani, and featuring Kate Priestash and Casey Thomas with Warren Cox and John Bepler, at Providence Playhouse, 1256 Providence Road in Scranton. For information, area code 570-342-9707, 342-9707, area code 570.
Let's chase each other around the room tonight. Let's play the games we